Triple M's Dead Set Legends podcast for Harvey Norman.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Brendan Favola. Fair Olympics not too far away. Always enjoy watching the hoops as you do, especially the Opals in action, and a lady that, well, if all things go well, she will be there. She joins it on the show before. She's an entertaining lady by the name of Sarah Blitzarves, who is at a training camp apparently in Canberra. Where I'm
should be warm there.
She's pretty crisp. Hello, Sarah.
Hi, guys, and yes, I'm freezing. Thank you.
Have you been out for a 15K run in the snow this morning? What a place for a training camp. You're going to Rio and they've sent you to Canberra.
I know, and it's horrible. It's so cold. I'm just waiting for it to snow.
Well, who's in charge there? It's not the Winter Olympics you guys are going to. Surely you need to be acclimatising to where you're off to.
I agree, exactly. No, but fortunately enough, we have a camp in Gold Coast in 10 days, I think. So, you know, they're making up for it with that one.
Well, the Gold Coast will be nice. I'm heading up there tonight. I can't wait to get up there. But you guys, the Opals are a big chance for a medal in Rio, and you always come up against the all-conquering USA. And how do you think the guys are going to fare against the might of the USA?
We've actually got quite a good team. Obviously, they haven't picked it yet. They're down to 17, I think it is. But, you know, it's going to be tough to make the team, and anyone can. But USA are always really good, and they're the team to beat. But I think we've got quite an unstoppable force as well. And, you know, I think we shouldn't be intimidated by them, and we should just go in all guns blazing. And, you know, I think we've got a good chance.
100%. So when do you girls start your season, domestically here?
That starts in October, I think it is. So pre-season starts very soon as well. So
obviously over in the US, their season started. So do you think that them playing all these games leading up, would you rather be going in fresh, or would you rather be playing all the ball that they're playing in the quest for gold?
All about tactics, isn't it?
It is.
That's tough, because I guess they're used to it as well. They've always done that, and I guess never had a problem with it. I think personally I'd rather be in season, because then you're in good form as well, and especially the WNBA, that's a top league in the world. So I think their preparation's quite good, having that league there.
If you haven't seen this league, Howie, I've been watching it on ESPN. Whew. Is that good?
Well, Lauren Jackson named in the top 20 over in the United States the other day. She's going to leave a massive hole. In some ways, Sarah, I know you have to move on, but when I think Australian Opals, I think Lauren Jackson, people are going to really have to step up, because one of the greatest basketball the world's ever seen.
Yes, that's very true. She's a big loss, but like you said, we've got to get over that, and we have to have other players stepping up. And you know, we've got great bigs as well, like Liz Cambridge. You can't top her, can you? So, I'm happy to have her in our team. And, you know, the girls are coming along really well. And, yeah, she is a very, Lauren's a very important player. But, you know, she's riddled with injury, and poor girl. She struggled to retire, but it had to be done, I think.
I had coffee with LJ and Laura. Laura?
Laura?
Yeah, Liz. And she's so tall. Like, because LJ is obviously very tall. I'm good mates with LJ, but she was there as well. And I was like, I felt like a little midget. I was so small, and I'm like, I felt uncomfortable. I'm like, you've got me covered. And they're like, yeah. And they knew exactly what I was thinking. I was like, jeez. But it must be amazing to have, a girl like Liz standing there. And, you know, she was a bit hesitant to play. A bit happened last year with training camp and stuff. But seems like she's all on board to represent the Opals now.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. She's all on board. And I know what you mean by the intimidating factor, because we're in dining hall at the moment with all these little men gymnasts.
Are you just going to snack on a couple of them? Maybe a little bloke on the vault or the beam, just snack on him before you get off to training?
That's it. Seriously, they're lining up in front of me. I'm like, get out of my way.
Now, Sarah, last time you came on when I was in here with Duck, you were obviously talking about your brother, Mark, who's playing for Geelong and has won a best and first since we last spoke to you. Your other brother came up. This is how the conversation went.
Mark and my oldest brother, Chris, who's probably listening to this right now in the kitchen.
Hello, Chris.
I think he's been one of the most improved players in the comp, but he might end up being the disappointment, the only one not to go to the Olympics.
Oh, Chris in the kitchen's not doing much at the moment.
I'm taking Chris out of the equation.
Unless he's on MasterChef. Chris, your dad. Yeah, how's Chris the dad going? Is he kicked on in life, or is he still battling away while you're off to the Olympics and your brother's on the way to maybe a premiership?
Oh, far out. Sorry.
Oh, we thought we lost you for a moment there. Chris the Dud, how's he tracking?
Chris, oh, poor him.
Poor Chris.
He's not a dud.
Is he?
He's a dud.
Look, let's be honest. He's probably going to be listening to this and he probably will still be in the kitchen. Oh, poor fella.
Hey, Sarah, we really appreciate your time. I hope it all goes well as far as the final squad goes.
We should get Chris on, Howie.
Yeah, I'm not sure Chris is going to... Oh, I'm not sure Chris is lighting up the airwaves. I don't think he brings much to the table. Have a wonderful, safe time up there in Canberra, the Gold Coast, and mate, all go well for you if you jump on the plane and go to Rio, which is what we're all
good
expecting.
Good luck, Sarah.
Yeah, thank you so much, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks to Sarah Blitzarvin. Hello to Chris out there. We know you're not really a dud.
The dud chef.
Mark Howe, Brendan Fowler, Dead Set Legends, Triple M. Kev, you have been all over the NBA draft. At number 10, a massive shock. This is how it went down.
The Milwaukee Bucks select Thon Maker from South Sudan and Perth, Australia.
This is a man from South Sudan, then spent some time in Uganda, ended up in Perth. He has now joined the Milwaukee Bucks. Massive surprise. And on the line, Fev, we've got a gentleman who is the play-by-play voice of the Milwaukee Bucks, Ted Davis. Good morning from us. Good evening to you, Ted.
Yeah, I was wondering what time it is there. It's 5:30 on Friday here, so hello, everybody.
Great to speak to you, Ted. How big a surprise was this that Thon Maker went at number 10?
Leading up to the draft, I had heard his name numerous times, so I wasn't completely shocked. There was some question about his age during the day of the draft, and a lot of people thought that he was going to drop and perhaps even drop into the second round. But the Bucks had him in for a workout. They really liked what they saw. They were very intrigued. And, in fact, Thon Maker stayed around for another hour and 45 minutes working out with the Bucks coaches and talking to them. And they came away from that interview and workout with a very good feeling about Thon Maker. And I think what they're doing is the same thing they did with Giannis Antetokounmpo 3 years ago. They drafted Giannis with the 15th pick 3 years ago, and he was unheard of coming out of Greece. And they looked at their board and said, well, there's nobody on our board that's going to make a big impact next year, so let's roll the dice and take a chance on this young kid from Greece. Well, 3 years later, Giannis Antetokounmpo is on the verge of becoming certainly a star, if not a superstar, in the NBA. So I think in the draft room last night, they were looking at their board, and they were thinking the same thing. Nobody at 10 on that board is going to make a big impact on us. We love the athletic ability of Thon Maker. Why not take a chance on him and see if we can have lightning strike twice? And they did. They drafted him.
I love it, Ted. Just a quick one there, Ted. You mentioned there was some confusion about his age. Can you explain that to us?
Well, he's 19, or supposed to be 19, but there were rumors during the day that he could be as old as 24. Coming out of South Sudan, which, is, as you know, is a country that has been in strife for a long time, the birth records are not always readily available. The Bucks say there was a press conference today here in Milwaukee introducing Thon Maker and the second-round pick Malcolm Brogdon. And the Bucks officials were asked about that question, and they said they are convinced that Thon Maker is indeed 19 years old. And so as far as they're concerned, that issue is put to rest, and he's a 19-year-old kid.
Now, Ted, we're going to move on to the number one draft pick, Ben Simmons, another Australian. Is he that good?
I don't think he's a franchise changer the way LeBron James was or some of the other number one picks. But certainly he's an intriguing player with everything he can do. He's got a unique skill set for a man that big. He can run the floor extremely well. He can set up his teammates. He's athletic. He's going to a really bad team, and I don't think that alone is going to turn around the 76ers. He will go through a lot of losing next season as a rookie, but I think he's got a bright future in the NBA. And, you know, Australia is now putting a lot of players on the international stage. We had one here with Andrew Bogut a few years ago.
Yeah, well, it's not just the Australians. I think out of the top 20 draft picks yesterday in the draft round one, I think there was 12 international players. How do the Americans deal with that?
Well, it's just the way the game is going. The game is a global game now, and you've got NBA fans in multiple countries, and you've got European players that are becoming very, very good, fundamentally sound players when they come to the NBA. And I also think it's part of the one-and-done rule that they have in American colleges now. I don't think it benefits the NBA. I don't think it benefits American college basketball to have one-and-done players. I would very much like to see them go back to the way it used to be, where you had to play 2 years of college ball to come to the NBA. And if you didn't want to do that, you could go play in the D League or you could go play in Europe for 2 years, but you had to be a certain age to come to the NBA. I don't know that that'll ever happen, but I think it would be better for both the NBA game and the college game.
We're speaking to Ted Davis, play-by-play voice of the Milwaukee Bucks. Ted, as we let you go, my word, you have got a magnificent voice for radio. How many games of basketball do you call in a season?
Well, we do 82 regular season games and then about seven or eight preseason games. And then, you know, if you get in the playoffs, you do more. I've been doing this
a long
time. Do you love it,
Ted? Did you love it?
Oh, I love it. Oh, yeah, it beats working. I mean, come on. I get paid to go to basketball games, and next year will be my 29th year in the NBA, and I have done approximately 2,500 games total.
Wow. Congratulations. Ted, listen, it was great to have a chat with you. Thanks for explaining it in that beautiful voice of yours. Hopefully we can get you on at some stage when Thon starts dominating. Thanks for your time, Ted.
All right, call me back.
We will. Ted Davis, play-by-play voice of the Milwaukee Bucks. He's on speed dial, that man, right now.
Yeah, he is,
what a
mate.
Guru.
He is,
Mark Howard, Brendan Fowler, and Dead Set Legends on Triple M.
Over the top, Gibbsy going to run into space. Bounces in front of him. What can he do? Tough angle. Goes along the ground. That is unbelievable. It's ridiculous. It's superb. That's insane stuff. It's a goal to the Blues.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard, Brendan Fowler. That was a bit of Hamish McLaughlin, old school Triple M. I enjoyed it. Bryce Gibbs playing game number 200. He's been a wonderful player for that football club. He sported lots of haircuts, as he spoke about in his press conference during the week. And, Fev, you would have been down there when a young 17-year-old from South Australia wandered into the club for the first time.
Yeah, and I remember in 2005 we'd been struggling a little bit and I was up at about 2 in the morning and I was watching the, I think it was ABC at the time, and they were playing a game where he was featuring for Glenelg, and this young 17-year-old kid was running around in the midfield. He'd had 44 and kicked 6 from the midfield. And I woke up in the morning and said to my wife, Alex, I said, and I reckon, hope we don't win another game for the rest of the year because this kid is that good. And she's like, what are you talking about? I said, if we finish on the bottom, we get this kid. And we're on the bottom anyway. But I was just going, he's going to be a 200-game player, which he is now, and a leader of the footy club, you know, going into, you know, the next couple of years. And funny enough, we picked him up. We finished last. Oh, funny that. And we picked him up.
Do you want to ask you some questions about that finishing last part that you've opened the door to now?
And then
just stand by on Bryce Gibbs for a minute. Let's get back to the finishing last.
And then in 2006, we picked him up with the first pick, and he came into the club, and Murph was 2005 first pick, and you know, Dennis put him straight into the leadership group. So he walked into a leadership group. And
Why did that happen? Why did he come? Because it was a big story at the time, and he ended up out of the leadership group after that.
I think it's a lot
on a young man.
But he played a lot of senior footy, and Dennis, they didn't really do much. They weren't really in the leadership group. They were just named in it, but they were sitting in and listening to how everything operated, how the club operated, because we knew that they're going to be two guys that are going to be, you know,
the future.
They're the future of the footy club, and now obviously one's a captain at the side. So he went in and he had a pretty good first year. Obviously overshadowed by myself, who won the Coleman that year, but it's not about me. But I used to sit next to Gib. Simo would be on one side and Gibbo would be on the other side in all our meetings, and we used to go midfield. Defenders first, midfielders, and then forwards. So I'd have a little bit of a kip and just wake up when the forwards, and he'd give me a little bit of a nudge. So he was my sort of alarm clock, which was good. So I looked after Gibbsy a lot when we were over in Adelaide. I spent a fair bit of time when we play there, and I'd meet his family. And his old man,
he was a very storied footballer himself, great footballer
in Adelaide. And he told me a story, which Gibbsy is so not like his old man. He was 99 goals in the last quarter, last game of the year.
This is his dad.
His old man, to kick his ton. And he thought, I want everyone to remember this. So he got nude to have his shot for goal, to kick his 100th. And the umpire sent him off. And then 5 minutes later, the siren went, he didn't kick 100. Got stuck on 99 goals.
Who was he playing for?
He was playing.
The nude 18.
He's got nude and didn't get to kick his ton. So that's a very famous story over in South Australia. But
a good
Gibbsy also loves his soccer. You know, he's a avid Liverpool fan. And
OKC fan as well, I think.
OKC and also Real Madrid. Loves Gareth Bale. And I think that's what he's modelling his hairdo on now. A bit of Gareth Bale style. And he got to meet him when they came over. But The only thing, the only knock I've got on Cusy is that hairdo at the moment. It's not well. I actually caught up with him on Wednesday at the footy club. I went down to Carlton for a few things and had a good chat with Gibbsy, and he's a really level-headed kid, and he was way too mature for his age when he came to the club, and he's really grown into that now, and he's obviously one of the leaders of the footy club, and he had a lot of doubters early on. Mm. You know, he shouldn't play him there, he should play him here, but he is one guy I'd pick in my side just for stability. He's there, he's a gun, beautiful skills. He's a lot like Pengelby. Looks like he's got a lot of time. And congratulations, 200 games over there. They're playing GWS today. So hopefully the boys can put out a good performance. And to play 200 games at any club is amazing. And one club player. And well done, Bryce Gibbs. Got offered a lot of money to go back to Adelaide, but stayed with the Mighty Blues. So good luck, mate. And hope you take the chocolates.
You mentioned that you were down the club, and that sparked my memory that I made a mental note, which I then completely forgot, that Channel 10, I think it was the Channel 10 news, actually, I was watching. It could have been Dunk McKenzie McCarg, I'm not sure, but at the end of his footy package, and he said, and Brendan Favola was seen at Carlton. No one was quite sure why, and that was in a story. He was building a little sort of mysterious situation as to why you were down at the Blues. So now that my mental note has been jogged, what were you doing down there?
Yeah, so good luck, Gibbsy, and let's go to the Song High. We've got Ted Davis coming up from Milwaukee next.
What were you doing down there, Brendan? Was it an official capacity or unofficial capacity? I haven't asked you about this in the break, and that's why you're looking at me like that now. What were you doing down there, mate?
Just having a bit of a look, mate, at the old club that I was at. First time I've been back in 7 years, too, back at that footy club.
So how was that?
It was good.
Was it?
Yeah.
Do you want to expand on it at all or not?
Not just yet.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Next segment, Fair Will Expand. Right. New gear from Blink 182, bored to death, Mark Howard, Brendan Favola on the Dead Set Legend. What are you laughing about, Chuckles?
Oh, nothing.
I've got a bit of DJ in me at some stage.
Oh, you got nothing.
You don't think so?
No, please.
I tell you, our next guest has got something. After a stunning performance in the swimming trials, has taken her on the plane to the Rio Paralympics in September. Her name is Monique Murphy. She joins us now. Congratulations, Monique. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Thank you very much.
Great to speak with you, Monique. For those that aren't aware of your story, just briefly describe the incident that happened to you, a horrific incident a couple of years ago, to bring people up to date.
Yeah, it was just 2 years ago. I fell from a fifth floor balcony and was in a coma for over a week on life support and woke up to numerous broken bones and had my right leg amputated.
Monique, it's a horrific incident. I don't ask these questions lightly, but when you come to and you're physically recovering and you are told by the doctors that there's an incident you probably don't remember much about and you've had part of a limb amputated, how do you mentally deal with a situation like that?
You just cry, really.
Yeah, right.
My parents were with me and, you know, that support was just absolutely crucial. But I was very aware how lucky I was. You know, I had no spinal damage or brain damage, which was just a complete miracle. So the perspective hits quite quickly and, you know, as hard as it is, limbs are replaceable. So I knew that I would be able to take a while, but I'd be able to get on with things.
Monique, you were a swimmer prior to that. So then tell me about the experience and the time spent then getting into the pool and having to learn a whole new way of competing, which you've obviously done amazingly well due to the fact that you're off to Rio.
Yeah, I was straight back in the pool with rehabilitation and no plans on ever becoming competitive again. But the freedom and mobility that I have in the water was just so much more than I could get on land, and not wearing a prosthetic in the water meant that it was just a pain-free environment. So it was something that I latched onto and just became part of my daily routine.
Now, your prospects have been boosted with a little secret training weapon. Can you elaborate on that?
Yes, the department at Royal Park Prosthetics have made me a mermaid fin. So it's a prosthetic fin for the water, and it's covered in mermaid scales. So it looks fantastic. Yeah,
mermaid.
I'm a mermaid.
Beautiful. My kids love mermaids.
Yeah, childhood dream come true.
So
it's fantastic. Helps me engage all my muscles and just get a really good workout.
Do you have to start from scratch? You're talking about engaging your muscles. In some ways, I guess, Monique, you've got a whole new body to learn to deal with.
Yeah, when I started swimming properly, I was surprised how easy it felt. I was expecting it to be much harder, but the balance in the water is very different. So I'd go to kick and there'd be nothing there to propel me forward. So it's much more upper body and much more core focus now. It took a while to adapt, but it was easier than I expected.
Now off to Rio, and to be honest, I absolutely love watching the Paralympics on TV. How exciting is this for you to go over to Rio? And do you have any fears about being over there? Because we've seen another Paralympian during the week who got robbed.
Yeah, no, there's obviously a few concerns, but the APC are fantastic with keeping us up to date and putting in a whole lot of precautions and things in place to keep us safe. So I feel really supported and feel quite comfortable going over there. And I'm just so excited to be part of this incredible team that prior to my accident, I didn't really have any knowledge of. So
we're speaking to Monique Murphy, who is off to the Paralympics. So what will you be competing in? Which events, Monique?
I'll be doing the 50 freestyle, 100 freestyle and backstroke. And then my main event is on the second last day, which is the 400 freestyle.
So you've got a pretty full book then.
Yeah, no, keeping busy.
And I think you've been heavily involved with Optus along the way. They do a wonderful job with sport all over the place, but I think the Optus Support Network have been someone you've joined together with.
Yeah, no, they've been absolutely phenomenal. So there was an Optus event yesterday at the Bourke Street Mall stall, and you know, so touching to be chosen and have my profile put out there, but just also to raise the profile of the Paralympics and the team in general, because it's a phenomenal team and we need the support from people like Optus to get us out there so that people can get behind us and cheer us on in Rio.
My word, we'll be cheering you on, Monique. Best of luck in the next 3 or 4 months leading up to that, and may all your dreams come through at the first of hopefully many Paralympics for you.
Thank you very much.
What an amazing story, Howie. It's inspirational, that stuff. I absolutely love that. And she's got a full book, and hopefully she can bring a medal home for Australia.
Yeah, it must be such a difficult thing to go through when you wake up in that situation and your life has changed in so many ways. But, well, if you're going to do it, I think you'll probably do it with Monique's attitude. So good luck to Monique. Jared Blair from the Collingwood Football Club will join us next. We'll talk a bit of footy and a bit of stuff away from footy as well on the Dead Set Legends. Thanks to Monique on Triple M. The Pies, far too good for the Fremantle Football Club last night. And joining us is one of my favourite players, always up and about, this bloke, Jared Blair from the Collingwood Footy Club. Hello, Blairy.
G'day, Howie. How are you going?
Oh, great to speak to you. I've got the big Fevolinko in here beside me. Tough old night for footy last night. She was really cold, but you boys kicked the first couple of goals and dominated right from the start. Congratulations.
Thanks, mate. Yeah, it was. It was a pretty interesting day. The conditions probably ended up being better than we expected, but yeah, it was pretty chilly at the G, mate. It was good to start well and, sort of get the job done.
Now, Blair, you played well last night, mate, and the Pies are up and about. But I don't go too often to the Herald Sun and look at stats unless they're snags. But in the metres gain section, you had minus 27. You're supposed to go forward, buddy.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. I think that's been 2 weeks running as well, Fev. I don't like it. I secretly check the stats every week too, like every other player in the AFL. And I don't like seeing a red column in meters game.
That's a misprint.
But it's a minus 27.
It's a misprint. That's a misprint, Blairy. They've got it wrong.
I think majority of my possessions were handballs. And then I got a free kick on the wing and I had Reedy bellyaching behind me to kick it back to him. So I kicked the ball back to him and it's cost me 30 metres.
Only umpires run backwards, mate.
What was that, sorry?
Only umpires run backwards.
Yeah, sorry, mate.
Well, now, the form of one of your teammates, he's been in the he's been put in the oven a few times, old Clokey, but kicking the first goal must have got you boys up and about, and he was really competitive last night and really gave you a target up forward. You must be wrapped when you got him up forward with big Mason Cox.
Yeah, it was good to have him back. Obviously, you know, he's had a pretty rough couple of months, and the media like to report on what Trav's doing almost daily. So it was good to have him back out there. And, on the back of a pretty solid performance in the BFL a few weeks ago, I think he sort of got his intensity back a little bit, got his hunger for the contest. And it was good to see last night because he gave us plenty and, in the air and as well at ground level. So it was good to have him back.
Now, for mine, one of the best pickups is Treloar this year. How do you find him? He's obviously a little bit out there and he says he wears his heart on his sleeve and has said a few things in the media that hasn't quite been Bucks' cup of tea. But I love that in him. And how do you think his season? I reckon he'd be leading the Copeland.
Yeah, he'd be thereabouts. There's a few boys that have had pretty solid seasons. But, yeah, he's obviously been a great recruit for the club. He just sort of keeps buttering up and managed to get his 30-plus touches a week and kick a couple of goals. So, there's been a lot said about Dangerfield being massive for Geelong, and, probably because they're going so well. But, I think in the next few years, Treloar will be one of the best recruits we've had because he's already delivering for us now.
All right, Blair, enough of the football stuff. Now we get into the stuff that interests me away from the footy field. I had an interesting situation yesterday where my cousin was down from up north and he likes to surf, Blair, as I do, but he surfs bigger waves than me. And he convinced me to go out yesterday early at Bell's and it was too big for me. And I just got a little bit edgy. I had that feeling. I heard a similar story that maybe one of Australia's greatest ever watermen, Trevor Hendy, may have taken you up sort of your old stomping ground Wonthaggi way and took you out in some very big surf in a midweek arrangement.
Yeah, we did. We went, we got coastal. Trev comes down every sort of few weeks and does a bit of work with the boys, and he managed to arrange his schedule so we could get a wave in, and we went back to a little town called Walkerville.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm definitely not a big wave surfer like you, Howie. I like to be nice and comfortable. And
as do I.
And yeah, paddling out with Trev, I was a little bit sketched out. Yeah, it was pretty solid and it was sort of breaking just off the rocks and in a pretty remote spot. So it wasn't the most enjoyable surf I'd had, but I felt pretty comfortable being out there with one of the greatest watermen Australia's ever seen. And, you know, we're paddling out and I reckon he'd paddle three times and be 20 metres in front of me and pull up, sit on his board and wait for me to catch up. It was pretty impressive to watch him do his thing, actually.
There's nothing like a couple of good righties off the rocks, is there, Harry?
That's it, Fev. Listen to Mr. Bodie here from Point Break. A couple other things to have a chat with you about. I also hear a rumour that you're sort of going into maybe recreating the Twins film with Schwarzenegger and DeVito, because apparently your best mate at the club is Big Witsy, who's about 9 foot tall, and you're not. True story?
Yeah, it's a story of my life, really. It was... you know, obviously in the AFL, there's a lot of big boys and, you know, I always find that, you know, we'd be out having a beer or whatever and I pretty much don't exist in their world. There's 6'7", 6'5" guys having a conversation and I'm looking up trying to hear what they're talking about. Yeah, it's not ideal, but I've learned to make do, boys.
Now, as we let you go, mate, I know they're also, as all you AFL boys, take things very seriously as far as your nutrition goes, and I think you're trying to think about working into a nutritional range, maybe with a Collingwood chef. The average punter, what's one thing you can do to his diet, Blair, just to pick things up a bit, just to clean it up a bit?
I think processed foods, Howie, are not ideal. We're actually talking about it the other night. One of the boys mentioned that maybe Cooper Cronk doesn't eat anything out of a packet.
Mm.
You know, obviously that'd be pretty hard because a lot of our food is, you know, stored in last month and it's full of preservatives. But I think it's a good start. He's a pretty healthy looking guy and a pretty elite athlete. So if you can avoid any packaged food, you'd be well on your way.
Wait till you retire, mate. It all goes out the pooper. Hey, I'm not quite sure if they got all over Dane Swan's tweets last night, but have you taken a look at some of those? Jeez, they look funny. Tell us a little bit about Swanee, please.
Yeah, I've had a little bit of a read. It's just textbook Dane, really, yeah. Obviously, the Pies fans wouldn't have the whole football world eating it up and... you know, I think Swanee's probably like yourself, Fevy, still able to be himself as inside playing elite football and having a great career. And I think it's refreshing for everyone to be able to see a bloke just be a bit of a lad still and perform at the highest level.
Oh, well said.
That's it, Blair. And as we let you go, Fev and I have dealt with it heavily on the show. Where do you sit on the Brexit scenario?
The Brexit scenario?
Yes. What are your thoughts financially on the whole situation, Blairy?
Well, it's funny you ask. We've been discussing investing in precious metals, and I think the whole scenario over there has sent their stock prices through the roof, so I might jump on board the gold.
Well, if you jumped on gold last night, you could have retired from Collingwood, mate. They're going that well. Blair, we appreciate your time. Thanks for telling us about your surfing, your cooking, and your financial investment plans.
Thanks, Blair. Good luck for the rest of the year, mate.
Thanks, guys.
He's a good man, Jared Blair from the Collingwood Football Club. Next, we go to Sportsbet for all the latest odds. This is Mark Howard, Brendan Favola. That was Jared Blair. Great man. Dead Set Legends, Triple M. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Brendan Favola. It is all happening in Britain at the moment. Fev, about 2 years ago, I tried to educate myself as to the world of finance. I thought, right, it was about time I got serious about this. I bought the Financial Review for 3 weeks and it cost me more money than I was saving, so I got out of that. But someone put me onto a gentleman by the name of Scott Phillips and his website, The Motley Fool. And he's been my education. And now we've actually got him on the line. You can check out his Motley Fool podcast as well on triplem.com.au. So I'm stoked to speak to him for the first time, to Scott Phillips. Hello, Scotty.
G'day, my friend. Good to join you.
Yeah, great to have you on. Now, listen, we're not exactly highfalutin financial types here in the Dead Set Legends studio. Why have the British done what they've done?
Oh, mate, if we could answer that. You know what? A week ago, I thought they would absolutely vote to remain. I thought it was a done thing, so I'm as clueless as everybody else. That's, you don't hear many finance people say that, by the way. look, this is the Poms deciding they don't want to be part of Europe. They see Europe as something that's taking money from them and imposing rules on them. And the British people, at least the majority of the British people, decided they didn't want either of those two things. They wanted to go out on their own, do their own thing, not be you know, carrying the yoke of Europe, and also not giving money to them. Now, whether that's actually the case or not, no one really knows. The debate was really clouded. There were very few facts, lots of emotion. But in the end, they've decided to go their own way.
Mate, the recession's been thrown around a lot lately in all around the world. But is this going to send the UK into a recession?
Mate, it almost certainly will, I think, based on what we think we know. And look, no one actually knows. Again, that's the reality. Someone who tells you they know for sure is kidding themselves. But the reality is that the economy works on confidence. You know, you think I'm going to pay you, I think you're going to pay me, so we both go and do a deal. If you're unsure, if you're not certain what comes next, you don't spend, you don't invest, you don't go and do the things that keeps the economy ticking over. And there's every chance, particularly with a falling British pound, which I'm sure we'll get to, that, you know, the problems might just retreat into their holes a little bit, not spend, not invest, and that could actually tip what's a teetering economy. You know, we think things are tough sometimes here at home, but we're one of the better countries in the world economically. Mm. The Poms really are on a knife edge.
Yeah, so for us Aussies, what does this mean to our dollar? And for obviously we have a lot of people go over to Europe. What's it going to be the change over there for us?
I'll tell you what, if you want to go to England, now is the time to do it. The pound fell about 8 or 10%. That means you're getting, you know, a pound 10p for your previous pound. You know, this is absolutely the time to go to England. Now, the euro doesn't change much, of course, because Europe's still, sitting there by itself. It'll probably be a little bit cheaper to go to Europe, frankly, because if there's fear about what's going to happen in England, there's also fear about what an EU means without England. So both sets of economies really not sure what comes next. And, you know, financial types, as you mentioned, currency traders in particular hate uncertainty. We've got a lot of uncertainty right now. And so what you're going to see is a whole lot of people saying, I don't want to own euros, I don't want to own pounds. That pushes those currencies down. And that means for us buying them, it's cheaper to buy. And it means if you're going to go to Europe or England for a holiday, now is a perfect time. But England, definitely the pick of those destinations, just on the foreign exchange alone.
A lot of people out there, I jumped on the ComSec account last night and she was red. It was bleeding. It was red, red, red everywhere. Now, just sort of following what you guys do a little bit over the last couple of years, I'm sure you'll be starting to think opportunities here, but it's a difficult time, isn't it? Because your natural reaction is, oh, crikey, it's gone down this much, but I guess you just got to stick with it.
Mate, that's exactly spot on. I'm glad you've been reading what we've got to say, because that is exactly the message. Warren Buffett, I think he's the third richest man in the world. He's the best investor anyone's ever seen. He reckons you should be greedy when others are fearful, and fearful when others are greedy. Right now, there's a whole heap of fear, particularly in the Northern Hemisphere, and particularly in Europe and England. But right now, you know, people are selling. Think about it. So let's say Woolies fell 3 or 4% on Friday. And you ask yourself, okay, well, hang on, how are Woolies going to do any less sales whether England's in the euro or not? Mm. It's not going to make any difference whatsoever as to whether, you know, think about Coles, the worst farmers. Think about Coca-Cola or Amatil, that, you know, I'm drinking my Coke Zero as we speak. You know, those things aren't going to change just because England or Britain leaves the EU. So those are, in particular, the sort of stocks you go, well, hang on, if you're giving them to me cheaper than, you know, yesterday, why wouldn't I go and get a bargain? So, look, you know, at the very least, do nothing. At the very least, if you're sitting there with a share portfolio thinking, I can't cope with this, this is all too hard, you know, Warren Buffett would say, go and buy when others are fearful. If you like something on Thursday, you should have liked it a whole lot more yesterday because it was cheaper. But if you can't bring yourself to actually go and spend some more money, go and invest some more cash, at least do nothing. Don't sell in a panic. Don't follow the herd. Think about, you know, the 87 crash. We can only just remember that. The GFC, the share market's back now much higher than it was pre-GFC, particularly including dividends. And a whole lot of people still scarred from that are staying away. That it's absolutely time to be brave. As I said, if you can go and buy and you get some stuff on sale, go and buy it. But at the very, very least, don't sell, don't panic, don't follow the herd because they're leading you off a cliff.
I wish I had this conversation with you yesterday because, geez, last night I sold up a lot. Jesus!
We're speaking to Scott Phillips from The Motley Fool. You can check out their podcast on triplem.com.au. As we let you go, Scott, and you've explained it to us in beautiful terms, what was either A, the last share you bought, or B, the next share you're going to buy, just for the Dead Set Legends listeners?
Fantastic, mate. I'll give you one. Mantra Hotel Group. I haven't bought it yet. It's a tourism operator based on the Gold Coast in particular. There's going to be a whole lot more Asian tourists coming to Australia over the next decade. Think about Chinese tourism growing. You know, the growing economies of Indonesia, Thailand, Singapore, Malaysia. They're all coming to Australia. They all want our beaches, our culture, our climate. Mantra Group operate a whole lot of hotels. They don't own any of the hotels, so it's a really capital-light business for those people who understand that capital-light businesses means Mantra doesn't put much money in and gets a lot of return from it. So a really good investment in my top tip right now.
So the Mantra Hotel Group, and this is the difficult thing about finance, Scotty, because you will know a fair bit about this. What you will not know, that Fev is going to the Gold Coast tonight. Fev, where are you staying, in seriousness?
Might have to buy the room I'm staying in at the Mantra.
So Fev's staying there tonight. Share price could plummet tomorrow. This is the difficult thing.
Fev, just please look after the room for us, mate.
Hey, Scotty, we appreciate your time and love the work of the Motley Fool. Thanks, mate.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Mate.
That's serious. You are staying there tonight. Next, we'll speak to a lady that's off to the Paralympics who has got a unique story. Her name is Monique Murphy. She will join us next on the Dead Set Legends on Triple M. Fev, you told me the highlight of the football last night was...
Dane Swan's tweets live on the Collingwood official Twitter account.
Oh, I've got a couple of them here. You're good mates with Swanee. He's in no particular order. I've noticed a couple of the boys are getting quite the bald patch / solar panel on their heads now. Advanced hair still about. That's how he started off the thing. He's talking about, got to go do some weights now, sorry, missed first part of the third quarter, and then people asked him what type of weights. He said, a lot of people are asking if lifting a beer or wine counts as weights. He says, yes, it does. So this is the type of stuff he's rolling. Tell us about Dane Swan while I eye a few more of these off. You've known him for a long period of time. He brings something to the football field, obviously, but he's the type of athlete I like because he's a little bit different, which I always enjoy.
Yeah, he's a different cat, Swan. He just got back from Bali. He's been over there for 10 days, so he came back, had no idea about what was going on in the football world. And I think when he plays, he's got no idea about what goes on the football field. He's a guy that we love at DSL, does not give a stuff about anything, does not care, doesn't care what people think, doesn't care what happens, really. So he's just an easy-go-lucky guy that just enjoys his mate's company and enjoys the finer things in life. Off the footy field.
I know at one stage he started sending out tweets to how many Collingwood supporters promoting his own business as well,
which
I enjoyed.
Well, this is Swanee in a nutshell. I think on the footy show early last year, they put up all the new recruits and they asked him what their names were. And he'd been training all pre-season. He's gone, that's mate. Yeah, I call him buddy. He had no idea. And I think a young guy kicked a goal last night and he goes, that was a great goal by that young kid. I think I'm going to have to say good day to him on Monday.
Introduce
and
myself
he probably
to him.
Wouldn't even know. People probably think he's joking, but he probably wouldn't even know who it was.
Nah, well done to Dane Swan of the Collingwood Footy Club. One other thing to come out of last night, Ross Lyon spoke to us on Triple M Footboy about the reigning Brownlow medalist, Nat Five, who we don't hear much about. You know, if he was over at a Melbourne club, we'd be all across his recovery and what was going on. But this is the update from the coach on the reigning Brownlow medalist.
In a couple of weeks, he's going to go and get the plate out to let it heal for pre-season. But long-term view is, if the plate's in there, it's another risk of breaking because of the hardness of the plate versus the bone. So he'll have a full pre-season right from day one and be really raring to go. He just wanted to get back and play, but the safest decision for him and the club in his career, if it was my son, I said, mate, you go and get the plate out and you take the long-term view and we want to look after you. So he adhered to that advice and we think it's going to stand him and the club in the best stead for the future.
And, you know, well said by Rossy Lyon. Nat Fyfe is a really professional outfit. You know, he's won a Brownlow, but I heard an interview a couple of weeks ago when I was in Perth about him and is he going to go away? And he said, no. I'm not going away. The young boys need my leadership here. I'm going to get around. I'm going to be in the coach's box. I'm going to help educate them. I'm going to be a leader. And that just shows how valuable he is to that footy club. He's not going to go on a holiday, which most blokes do after an injury. He's going to stick around. He's going to do the pre-season. He's going to come back bigger and better.
Yeah, Ross was saying that he goes to 3 of the 6 meetings a week. He loves to be down at the club. He was also, it's always a fascinating conversation with Ross. I only ask a couple of questions, then hold the microphone. But he was responding to a question from Chris Judd about what he's taken from international sport, and he started talking about the press that he picked up on lacrosse and the defensive side he's picked up on soccer and the zone that he's picked up on basketball. and we watch a game of footy and we think, you know, just kick it forward, get it to the forward. And you hear these blokes speak and you realise, even though you're watching the game through certain eyes, they are watching and coaching the game through a level that the average punter watching at home just doesn't understand.
Yeah, they're a weird breed, the coaches. And Rossy Lyon's probably one of the most astute coaches in the AFL. And I had him at Carlton as a reserves coach, and he was great for me. And he's got away with words and he's got away with his demeanour, but he's loved by all his players because... He's a real football brain, and you know, I love that about him as a coach. And he always sticks up for his players, and it's great when he wants to deflect a question. He just rambles off some absolute crap about nothing, and the players know what he's talking about because he says that to them. And he's brilliant. He's great for football.
Greg Rust on the line to talk all things motorsport. Hello, Thruster.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Good,
yeah,
mate.
We're well. We're just trying to sort of wade our way through the Brexit situation at the moment. Fev and I, two of the great minds in...
Where do you sit on that, you two?
Well, we haven't officially released our position, but it'll come out after 10
it's
o'clock.
It's going to be in depth.
Yes, it will be in depth. Now,
full press conference. Good luck with that.
Yeah, two of the great analytical minds. Hey, Lewis Hamilton, I was watching the Grand Prix the other night from Baku in Azerbaijan, which I enjoyed, and well done to Nico Rosberg. Again, it didn't work out well for Dan, but I enjoyed Lewis when he got on the radio and said, listen, I'm just going to change every setting on the car because it's not working, and they got back to him, we would not advise you to do that, Lewis. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, the radio rules basically say that from the pit wall, the team can't assist the driver. There can be no sort of driver aid in that regard, unless it's a safety matter, really. I mean, but the radio rules are a bit of a joke. People like Fernando Alonso say, you know, it's either in or out. And I know Jacques Villeneuve's been very critical of it as well. Rosberg made some good decisions. I think he clearly understands. I mean, you're talking NASA space shuttle sort of stuff. You've got to understand the car. And they had an engine mode issue. Nico made a change. It worked for him. But it took Hamilton something like 12 laps to figure it out. So back to study, back to the books.
Now, mate, actually, on the way back from South Africa, our plane conked out. And the guy, the pilot goes, just Control-Alt-Delete will be 5 minutes. I said, what?
Yeah.
Control-Alt-Delete? Please, mate, we're flying back to Australia. I don't want to be conking out mid-air.
If only Lewis could have done that for him.
Yeah, mate. But what a cruel finish in the Le Mans 24-hour. The Toyota were final lap, looked like taking the chocolates, and then lost all its power.
Just heartbreaking. So effectively, the final lap, so 6 minutes to go. And they have a connector on one of the pipes between the turbo and the intercooler that cries enough. It loses massive power. Porsche overtake them on the final lap to steal snatch what seemed like a certain victory. To Porsche's credit, they've been very respectful in this. They've put stuff out on social media which has the Toyota car, and it says stuff like, you know, raced hard for 24 hours, earned a lifetime of respect, that kind of thing. So they take the win, but they know that had it not been for that very minor technical issue, it would have been Toyota's first win there. Heartbreaking stuff. You couldn't have scripted it seriously.
There's a lesson there, boys.
What's that?
It's never over.
That's right.
That's it. There's also a lesson there that we're in the entertainment business. Now, I've told you before, when you talk about tyres, you're going to be sanctioned. You start talking about pipes on cars, you can have a 2 week spell, Thruster.
I've been benched.
Now, listen, Lee Holdsworth, big crash in the V8s. Broken bones all over the place. A good friend of this show, Cracker Holdsworth. We enjoy his work. How is he physically? It was a big shunt you were up there in Darwin.
He'll be listening this morning. He's a ripper bloke, one of the best guys in the supercars fraternity. So it was a 56G impact. And when you first saw it, it didn't look that bad. When you watch the replays, it was quite a hard hit side on. So not just the fracture in the pelvis. He's got a fractured right knee, and he's got a couple of broken ribs as well. They're saying that he'll be out until the Enduros. We can't wait to see him back in that car. And they've taken it because of the damage. The car hasn't gone back to its Melbourne workshop. It's gone straight to Queensland. They reckon they can fix it for Townsville, and they'll put Carl Reindler in that car for the Townsville round of the championship.
All right, well done, brother. You sort of skated on thin ice there talking about those pipes, but apart from that, a very nice wrap of the world of motorsport.
Have a holiday, mate.
Look forward to the press conference on Brexit, boys.
Yeah, it's coming up after 10:05. Well, once the Poms listen to this, they might change their mind. Well done, Thruster.
See you, boys.
See you, mate.
Mark Howard, Brendan Favola, after 10 o'clock, a lot coming your way. We will talk to Jared Blair from the Collingwood Football Club after 11, Sarah Blitzarves, and we go to Milwaukee to find out about the NBA draft, Thon Maker, Ben Simmons and the works. This is Mark Howard, Brendan Favola on the Dead Set Legends on Triple M. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Brendan Favola. Fev, I was just telling you I need to get a cab to the game today because the airport, car park at the MCG is closed. And you said get an Uber. I said, no, I've seen the cabbies. I know they're battling. I want to get behind and support them. 9 minutes on hold for the cab company. They still haven't answered. And people wonder why people aren't going in taxis. I'm trying to go in a taxi.
Well, mate, you could have called an Uber. We'd be at the front already. You would have been gone. You've been nearly at the MCG.
The cabbies, but gee,
well, now you know why Uber's
not,
so good.
Yeah, they're not making it easy. Right, if you've missed some of the show in the last 3 hours, this is a bit of the gear we had going on. Could I tell you, sitting on the boundary last night, how cold it was at the footy?
How cold was it?
It was that cold. Opposition supporters could not get into a heated argument. It was that cold.
Oh,
hitchhikers
no.
were holding up pictures of their thumbs. It was that cold. The farmers were milking their cows, and it was coming out as ice cream fest. That's how cold.
That's better.
That's how cold it was at the footy. Feb, can you just explain to the average punter out there now what the British exit from the European Union actually means?
Oh, everybody knows that I'm good at finance. That was my koshy. Anyway. Oh,
wow. Wow. Monique Murphy.
Now, your prospects have been boosted with a little secret training weapon.
Yes, the Department at Royal Park Prosthetics have made me a mermaid fin, so it looks fantastic. Yeah,
mermaid.
I'm a mermaid.
Beautiful. My kids love mermaids.
Yeah, childhood dream come
yes.
true.
Always enjoy watching the hoops as you do, especially the Opals in action, and a lady that, well, if all things go well, she will be there, Sarah Blitzarves.
I know what you mean by the intimidating factor, because we're in dining hall at the moment with all these little men gymnasts.
Are you just going to snack on a couple of them, maybe a little bloke on the vault or the beam, just snack on him before you get off to training.
That's it. Seriously, they're lining up in front of me. I'm like, get out of my way.
Now, Tim, the number one draft pick, Ben Simmons, is he that good?
I don't think he's a franchise changer, but certainly he's an intriguing player with everything he can do. He's going to a really bad team, and I don't think that alone is going to turn around the 76ers, but I think he's got a bright future in the NBA, and you know, Australia is now putting a lot of players on the international in the international stage.
Back to the tennis, Wally. Fez,
now, Wally,
ready to go.
Wimbledon starts on Monday, mate, and our Aussie boys, Tomic's drawn Verdasco in the first round.
The thing about Verdasco is he's a bit of a beast, so over five sets, I think it's a slightly different story.
He's like Michael Chang, just an energiser.
But he's about 30 kilos heavier.
That's Wally telling you he's nothing like Michael Chang. I've got a bit of DJ in me at some stage.
Oh, you got nothing.
You don't think so? No. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman.
Just admiring our work, weren't we?
Here we were. Dead Set Legend of the Week.
Legend. I'm going to go. I can't believe I spoke about it earlier, but LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers bringing a title back to Ohio.
And old mate going to the parade with his shirt on.
Yeah,
J.R.
Smith's shirt off. I don't think he's put one back on, but overcome 3-1 down. Didn't talk about because of Hyfe because he's a bit upset that he lost a $20 bet, but that's okay. Go Cleveland, LeBron.
Dead Set Donkey of the Week. In some ways I love this, in some ways I didn't. When the old mate, the reporter, I'd been in his shoes, came up and tried to interview Ronaldo, and Ronaldo just grabbed the microphone and threw it into a lake.
Who's
partly
the donkey?
Partly made him a legend, partly made him, I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
It was brilliant.
I'm not sure. Have a great Saturday. Stay
warm.
Go
the Parkers.
Enjoy the footy. Good luck, Fev. Enjoy your little break you got. We'll be back next week on the Dead Set Legends.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends podcast for Harvey Norman.